Migration to Al-Medina.
Bilal radiyallahu anhu was now free to call others to the new religion. He was doing his best to make Islam known to all the Arabs from the tribes living around Mecca who were coming to visit the Kaaba. Although he was still treated very badly by the pagans, he never felt weak in the face of the difficulties he was still facing. Bilal knew that one day the religion of Islam would spread all over the world. Although he was poor and weak, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated him equal to the rich and powerful men. The pagans of Mecca were adding to their efforts and using all means possible to stop the Muslims from spreading Islam. After 13 years of struggle and hardships, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided that the only way to propagate Islam in the Arabian Peninsula was to move out of Mecca to another land.
A chance to escape torture.
Some men from the tribes Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj from the city of Yathrib, who were visiting Mecca, heard the teachings of Islam and accepted the new religion. They had already heard the Jews living in Yathrib telling them about a new prophet who would appear in the Arabian Peninsula. These people from Yathrib promised the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they would help him and his followers and protect the new religion in their city. So the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, decided that Muslims should migrate to Yathrib. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asked his companions to migrate to Yathrib. He told them that they would be safe there. So the Muslims began migrating to Yathrib. Muslims, both individuals and in groups, left Mecca secretly.
Hurry up, let's go.
Let's move quickly. Quickly, come on.
Hey, Saeed.
What?
What about my flock of sheep? Can I take it with me?
No, now put it back. I already told you we have to leave these things behind. Inshallah, we'll get something better in Al-Medina.
After a short period, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam joined the Muslims in Yathrib, from where Islam would spread to all parts of the Arabian Peninsula.
Establishing the new Islamic state.
The first thing the Muslims, migrants and supporters, did after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Yathrib, now named Medina, was to build a mosque so that the Muslims could gather together to pray and learn the teachings of Islam. This mosque was known as the Quba'a Mosque. Bilal radiyallahu anhu helped other Muslims in building the mosque. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was at the time 53 years old, joined in constructing the first mosque in the history of Islam. After building the mosque, the Muslims began discussing ways of calling everyone to the mosque at times of prayers. Some of them insisted raising a flag at each time of prayer. After building the mosque, the Muslims began discussing ways of calling everyone to the mosque at times of prayers. Some of them suggested raising a flag at each time of prayer. Others suggested setting a fire, using a horn, or even ringing a bell. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not agree to any of these suggestions because they were imitating the ways of other religions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was keen to have something different, signifying the great call of Islam. After 2 days of discussions, Abdullah ibn Zayd, radiyallahu anhu, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and told him that he had had a dream. He told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "I dreamt that a man dressed in a green uniform carrying a bell passed by me. I asked him to give me the bell, to use it for calling to prayer. The man suggested a better way. He told me that it was better to call for prayer as follows: Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala as-salah, hayya 'ala as-salah, hayya 'ala al-falah, hayya 'ala al-falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam happily listened to Abdullah's dream and said, "Allah willing, it is a true dream. Bilal, climb on top of the mosque and call the Muslims to prayer."
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah.
Radiyallahu anhu went on the top of the mosque and with his beautiful and melodious voice announced the call to prayer for the first time in history. This is the call to monotheism, the call to Islam, and the call to an everlasting happiness in the hereafter. The Muslims heard Bilal radiyallahu anhu calling them to prayer. The whole city stood still and everyone listened carefully to the beautiful words that Bilal declared loudly and clearly. As soon as Umar ibn al-Khattab heard Bilal announcing the call to prayer, he rushed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and told him that he had also the same dream. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions thanked Allah for this great blessing. Throughout all of his life in Al-Madinah and during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Bilal was the one who would announce the call to prayer 5 times a day. It was from the roof of that mosque that he announced the immortal and eternal message of Islam that is still up to this day being announced through hundreds of thousands of mosques all over the world.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar!
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar!
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah!
This great mission was entrusted by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Bilal. Radiyallahu anhu. This act showed the high rank that Bilal held among the Muslims and the great honor he had gained as a Muslim. Bilal, radiyallahu anhu, was the first muezzin of Islam. Bilal, radiyallahu anhu, remained faithful to the mission entrusted to him by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Throughout the life of the Prophet for 10 years, he would climb on the top of the mosque in Al-Madinah to call to prayer 5 times a day. He was well aware of the great task he was performing, and hence he did it with full devotion and sincerity.
The Day of Revenge. The Caravan.
It was the second year after the Muslims had migrated to Al-Madinah. They began patrolling outside Al-Madinah for security purposes. They received the news of a Quraysh caravan nearby. They went towards it to check it, but Abu Sufyan knew of the plan and changed his way. Hence, the caravan escaped the clash. Abu Sufyan sent a message to Mecca warning the rest of the Quraysh that their caravan was in danger. The Quraysh chiefs were very angry that the Muslims were threatening their economical interests. Therefore, they organized a heavily armed army of about 1,000 fighters and headed toward Al-Madinah to put an end to Islam and its followers.
Battle of Badr.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions heard of the Quraysh's plan and decided to protect their city against the overwhelming attack. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam consulted with his companions, and finally they decided to fight for their faith.
قاتلوهم يعذبهم الله بأيديكم ويخزهم وينصركم عليهم ويشف صدور قوم مؤمنين.
Fight against them so that Allah will punish them by your hands and disgrace them and give you victory over them and heal the breasts of a believing people.
The Muslims prepared a barely armed army of 313 men. Both armies met at a place called Badr near Al-Madinah. The battle began. Bilal fought in the battle with great courage, a sense of courage that he never felt while he had been a slave. He was searching in the battlefield for someone who had treated him like an animal. He wanted to show this person what a different person he had become. Through the dust over heads of fighters, he got a glance of Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Bilal roared like a lion and hurried towards him. With a blow from Bilal's sharp sword, Umayyah fell to the ground, blood covering his face. Bilal, radiyallahu anhu looked at the dead body and said, Allah is one. Allah is one.
Conquest of Mecca.
After 9 years of struggle and sacrifice, Islam spread over many parts of the land around Al-Medina. After several battles against the Muslims, the Meccans felt that they could not stop the true religion of Allah from spreading. So, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to hold a treaty not to fight each other for 10 years. This treaty is known as the Hudaybiyah Treaty. However, the Meccans failed to respect the terms of the treaty and killed some of the Muslim allies.
Kill them all! Get every one of them! Don't let the Muslims get away!
Oh, we're being attacked!
Ah! No! Don't let anyone get away!
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had no choice but to conquer the base of idolatry. He mobilized an army of 10,000 soldiers and marched towards Mecca. The army included Bilal radiyallahu anhu and other Muslims who had migrated from their hometown Mecca to Al-Madinah. On the way to Mecca, Bilal was dreaming of spitting on the face of Hubal for the second time. However, this time, it would be different. He would do it in public. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslim army entered Mecca peacefully. The Meccans watched them and did not dare to utter a word or make a move. They were afraid that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam might take revenge for all the suffering they had put the Muslims through. Another moment of great honor was awaiting Bilal radiyallahu anhu. As soon as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Mecca, he asked Bilal to go to Uthman ibn Talha to bring the key of the Kaaba. Bilal brought the key and entered with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inside the Kaaba. There, he saw Hubal with his broken hand. He took an axe and hit the dumb idol. The head of the idol fell down to end the time of ignorance and idolatry. All the idols that were in the vicinity of the Kaaba were destroyed. The worship of the One, Allah, gained victory over the worship of false and dumb idols. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood with Bilal and addressed the congregation, who were filled with fear and astonishment. They thought for a while that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take revenge on all those who caused him and his followers misery during their struggle in Mecca. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had been known to them for his kindness and humbleness, instead addressed them in very gentle words. Go, you are free. You are all sons of Adam, equal in rights and duties.
O people of Mecca, it's time for you to know your fate. The Prophet informs you that no blood will be spilled this day. Go, O people of Mecca! You are free! Free!
What? Free? We can go? Is that possible? Is he kidding?
Oh, I'm free! I'm free!
I agree!
don't have one camel. Besides, he said you're free. You can go.
Hey, just go.
Just like that. Just
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. So what we have was true.
Yeah,
it was true. This is the proof. Don't you see it in your eyes?
Ashhadu an la
ilaha illallah.
Ashhadu an la ilaha
illallah.
We love you, Muhammad.
These kind words made all the chiefs of the Quraysh embrace Islam. They knew that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a man of honesty and truthfulness. On this great day of victory over paganism, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Bilal radiyallahu anhu to go on top of the Kaaba and announce the call to prayer. The whole city listened to the beautiful words of monotheism as the sweet voice of Bilal flew through the streets of Mecca. Some Meccans, who still had some grudges against Islam and looked at others with contempt, did not like to see Bilal on top of the Kaaba calling to prayer. One man said,
"It was good that my father had died before seeing this slave go on top of the Kaaba."
Another one added,
"Could Muhammad not find anyone other than this black raven to call to prayer?"
Immediately, the following verses of the noble Quran were sent down by Allah to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They told those ignorant men about a fact that they should admit.
يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ.
O mankind, we have created you from a male and a female, and made you into nations and tribes that you may know one another. Verily, the most honorable of you with Allah is that believer who has piety. Verily, Allah is the all-knowing, all-aware. The Dignified Muslim.
Bilal lived as a pious, humble, and righteous man. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam appointed him as the custodian of the treasury. Bilal radiyallahu anhu never gave up his mission to call to prayer. He was entrusted with this great function all through the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was also the man who was commissioned to call Muslims to fight in the way of Allah. Towards the last days of the Prophet's life, Bilal stayed close to him and proved himself to be a true and devout follower. He joined the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in everything he did for the victory of Islam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed the farewell pilgrimage with thousands of Muslims, Bilal radiyallahu anhu was with him, listening to the last words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, declaring that the message of Islam had now become complete and perfect.
اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا.
This day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion.
Bilal felt his body shiver, for he knew that soon he would lose the man whom he loved more than he loved himself. Upon returning to Al-Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam fell ill. Bilal looked at the Prophet's face with his eyes full of tears and whispered, "May I be in your place?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam smiled and hugged Bilal. Some days later, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away.
وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات أو قتل انقلبتم على أعقابكم ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وسيجزي الله الشاكرين.
Muhammad is no more than a messenger, and indeed many messengers have passed away before him. If he dies or is killed, will you then turn back on your heels? And he who turns back on his heels, not the least harm will he do to Allah, and Allah will give reward to those who are grateful.
Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu, was selected as caliph. Time to call to prayer was due. The Muslims were waiting to hear Bilal's voice, but Bilal did not call to prayer.
What's happening?
May my mother and father be sacrificed for you, Ya Rasulullah!
What's happening?
Doesn't look like Abu Bakr can get Bilal to call the adhan. I think Abu Bakr's gonna do it.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.
He went to Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu and told him that he would prefer to go fighting for the sake of Allah. Abu Bakr urged Bilal to stay close to him and continue his mission as a muadhin. Bilal radiyallahu anhu accepted to stay in Al-Madinah but did not like to continue his role as a muadhin. He did not want to give the adhan for anyone other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As soon as Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu passed away, Umar ibn al-Khattab was selected as caliph. Umar asked Bilal to give the adhan, but Bilal refused. He asked Umar to allow him to go fight for the cause of Allah. Umar radiyallahu anhu, however, did not allow him to go because he wanted him to be with him in Al-Madinah. Umar radiyallahu anhu, the second caliph, gave Bilal the high status which he had at the times of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr. Bilal was not accepting to stay longer in Al-Madinah. He wanted to go out and fight for the cause of Allah. He once heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, "The best thing a believer should do is to fight for the cause of Allah." Bilal radiyallahu anhu wanted to fight because he knew that those who fight for the cause of Allah were better than those who sit at home. Once again, he asked Umar to allow him to leave Al-Madinah to fight against disbelievers. This time, Umar radiyallahu anhu gave in to Bilal's great desire of wanting to fight for the cause of Allah. He allowed him to join the Muslim army led by Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah in Damascus. Bilal radiyallahu anhu left to Damascus and lived there. He did his best to spread the teachings of Islam. Bilal joined his fellow Muslims in conquering Jerusalem. Umar visited the sacred city to conclude a treaty with the Christian inhabitants of the city. At the time of prayer, he asked Bilal to give the adhan. Bilal, radiyallahu anhu, immediately climbed up the stairs of Al-Aqsa Mosque and gave the adhan. All the people listened to the adhan by Bilal. They all had been longing to hear this voice. Bilal, radiyallahu anhu, recalled the times when he gave the adhan during the lifetime of the Prophet and started weeping. The Prophet's companions joined him in weeping. Bilal's voice reminded them of the golden days during the lifetime of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The early Muslims, who were weak and poor, had never imagined that the call to prayer would at any day be heard over the land of Jerusalem. Everyone shed tears in these happy moments.
The eternal freedom.
After spending a few days with Umar in Jerusalem, Bilal radiyallahu anhu left back to Damascus. One night, he dreamt of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam blaming him for his long stay away from Al-Madinah. Bilal woke up very upset. And immediately left Damascus for Al-Madinah. As soon as he arrived there, he went to the Prophet's mosque, stood in front of the Prophet's grave with his eyes full of tears and his tongue pronouncing with weak tone, "Peace be on you, O Messenger of Allah." Bilal, radiyallahu anhu, sat in the mosque for a long time, recalling the pleasant days during the life of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him to give the adhan. Bilal gave the adhan, and the whole city listened to the voice that refreshed their memory of historical days. After a few days, Bilal radiyallahu anhu left Al-Madinah back to Damascus. Days passed by very quickly, and Bilal became an old man. He fell ill and died. He was buried in Damascus. Bilal's life was the life of a man who suffered greatly as a slave, struggled greatly as a free Muslim, and then crossed the bridge of death to be in the company of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and his companions forever in the hereafter. Bilal, radiyallahu anhu, was the mu'adhin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam alone. It is reported that he only gave the adhan twice after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had passed away. A true Muslim had no choice but to follow the example of Bilal in announcing the eternal anthem of Islam. It is a duty on all it is a duty on all of us to listen to the call of prayer and remember the first. It is a duty on all of us to listen to the call of prayer and remember the first day when Bilal radiallahu anhu climbed over the roof of the first mosque in Islam to announce that Allah is the greatest. Not only this, but also we should give, but also we should positively respond to the call by going to the mosque to pray every time. Hundreds of thousands of mosques are now spread all over the world. They are not built just for decoration. Rather, they were built for a purpose. That is to go to when we hear the call to prayer and perform it as ordained by Allah. May Allah's mercy and blessings be showered on Bilal, radiyallahu anhu, who gave generations to come an example of endurance and steadfastness in the face of oppression and injustice.
إن الذين فتنوا المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثم لم يتوبوا فلهم عذاب جهنم ولهم عذاب الحريق.
Verily, those who put into trial the believing men and believing women, and then do not turn in repentance, then they will have the torment of hell. And they will have the punishment of the burning fire.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ.
Verily, those who believe and do righteous good deeds, for them will be gardens under which rivers flow. That is the great success.